Hello and welcome to episode 133 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I'm Ben Curry and tonight I'm joined by Jonathan Jones.
Evening.
And Mr. Sam Druff.
Good evening.
It is Tuesday evening and we have the unfortunate task of talking through Saturday's 1-0 defeat to Maidstone. That was my first league game of the season and I've got a few views on it. But first of all, let's hear from Sam, who was also there.
Just another poor afternoon of football at Playmore. I think I'll give them the Farnborough game, but I think that's just another game where we just haven't played well at all. I don't remember giving Kovalan a save to make, which is in a home game at this level unacceptable. You can't excuse that. I think Maidstone, whilst they weren't good, were just better than us, especially in the first half. And that's before the sending off. They looked like they were making chances. I mean, it's kind of probably a bit easier for me to say because it's right in front of where I stand. But they're right. The player who's going down their right-hand side was just putting ball after ball into the box. And you thought, they're going to put one away at some point. Marshall's... You know, I think we keep trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, saying he's going to get better, but it's just another schoolboy error from him, another red card. I mean, what's that? Two, three red cards in his time at Torquay, which is too many. Good save from Halstead, who once again has kept us in a game of football, which you shouldn't, again, you shouldn't be saying that about goalkeeper at this level, although thank God we have got him. And second half, we could have played for another 3 hours and we wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that when you get down to 10 men, that doesn't always mean that's the end of the game. It doesn't mean it's a write-off. But Johnny, when you heard we were 1-0 a man down, did you feel like we could ever get back into the game and go on to win it?
Well, I was listening on the radio. Well, I was trying to understand what was going on from TUFC radio. At least the second half was on Radio Devon, so that kind of helped a little bit. But it's so hard to tell from the radio, but it did seem like we created a few decent chances that we just should have converted. But I wasn't actually at the game, so I don't know how much that kind of that view flattered us. Because I know that the radio do seem to give a bit more of a positive outlook on things. But having watched the highlights, it did, you know, it did look like we had enough chances in the game to get something from it.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, it was my first appearance of the season for various reasons. And I was sat in the family stand because I was on a bit of a day out. I don't know why people would choose voluntarily to sit there to watch a match. You know, I can understand Popside, understand Bristow's bench, but you just get no idea what's happening at all behind the goal, by the by. And there were one or two really good chances in the second half, but up until Maidstone scored, we offered absolutely nothing. And it always looked like it was a one-goal game. Even with 10 men, I thought we'd still be good to create a chance, and that gaping chance never really came. And the annoying thing is that Maidstone, who are meant to be one of the better sides in the league, they didn't look very good at all either.
No, I just thought none of our players were better than theirs on the day. None of them. I've always been a bit of a fan of his, but I thought Donnellan was poor on Saturday. I just think he looked a bit out of his depth, which is a shame. So I do like Donnellan. I'd certainly keep hold of him. I think he's a useful squad player.
I think that, and just jump in, Sam, I think that shows where we are, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think he is an okay squad player, but when he's pretty much first name on the team sheet to this manager, it does show you where we are. Because I don't mind Sean. I think he has shown that he can be half decent, but he's got an error in him. He's always got he's always got a clang of it in there. And we saw that on Saturday. Having said that, from looking at the highlights, going back to Ross's red card, it sounded like Donnellan completely did him, as in Ross had no chance to do anything about it, and he took one for the team. But actually looking at it, he had so much time to do to just to pass it back to the goalkeeper or to kick it clear.
It's a comedy of errors. I mean, I was sat around various people when we were in various states of inebriation, and a lot of people were saying, "Oh, it's not a red card, that's fixed as in." And I said, "It's a clear red card."
Yeah, it is.
But I completely agree with you. Is that although the throw was poor and poor communication, and it's two idiots just clowning about, he had more enough time to sort out the situation. And
I mean, put it out for a corner, like
yeah.
Anywhere. He had so it's almost like he didn't realise the striker was behind him.
And
obviously,
Ross...
the noise against Gary Johnson gets louder and louder, and you can't argue with any of it. But how can you blame him for these players just making just such poor basic errors as that? I mean, there was no danger at all. It was such a nothing game, and you know you don't need to just throw a game away like that. Not just with the penalty. It was a great save by Holstead, we should say, but a red card. And with nothing on the bench to bring on to change the situation, just shooting yourselves in the foot week after week. And so I can't really argue against, you know, this noise against Johnston, because it's getting louder. But at the same time, he must be banging his head against the wall with mistakes from players who should be a lot better than what they're showing.
Yeah,
I completely agree. And I was going to say, my thing with Ross is, don't get me wrong, the bloke clearly has some sort of ability because he is a professional footballer and he's got to this, you know, he's got this to this point of his career. But I just don't think he's mature enough to be playing in that position or be playing at this level at the moment. I think in a few years, he'll be good enough to play at this level, if not the conference. He's got some sort of ability, but he's just stupid. Like every time he's been sent off or every time he does something like that, you think that was completely and utterly avoidable. You didn't need to do that.
No, I completely agree. And if you look at the last two results, I don't want to blame Ross solely, but the Hemel game, he's not got a shout and he's headed it back across the 6-yard box and they've tapped it in. And in that game, he's got a stupid red card, and it's just shooting ourselves in the foot all the time. And in that Hemel game, he actually scored a really good header, and he has shown moments of quality this season. So there is something there, but I think for both our centre backs, it looks like one of them needs to play with someone with a bit more experience. Like either Marshall needs to play with, you know, someone who's been around the block, or Ollie Tomlinson needs to play with someone, you know, because I think,
yeah,
I actually heard good things about Tomlinson on Saturday.
But, I'll tell you what, Ollie Tomlinson was the positive. I feel like he's really growing into it. And don't get me wrong, you can absolutely tell that he's a young defender. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. It's just centre-backs and goalkeepers are the two positions that you do. I think you have to wait until a certain age, really, until you, especially at this level, until you're the player that you're going to be. But I feel like he's just becoming a little bit more. He's certainly one of the first names on the team sheet for me at the moment. And that, you know, I think, you know, I mean, certain people have been calling for him to play for ages. So maybe they do know the game well. But, you know, I certainly didn't think he'd be one of our better players. But in a way that I don't know why I expected for him, but he... I thought Saturday, he was probably my man of the match on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that as well. And I was actually quite quietly impressed with Tomlinson. I mean, it's not that particularly high bar we're setting for players this season, but I thought he had a good game. And on Marshall, you know, beginning of the season, we're lumbered with last year's Deadwood. And he was one player out of the four or five remaining that I had high hopes for. I thought, coming from Stevenage, he'd put him a bit of pedigree, but he's just too error-prone. And in games like that, it's just going to cost you. It's not the first time he's done it in his very short Torquay career. It's like 4 red cards in 50 games or something horrendous. And
that's a lot. I can't think of the other ones, but yeah, that's mad, isn't it? It's a lot.
And there was a game last season against Altrincham at home.
Yeah, that's the other one.
He stamped on someone.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was kind of outrageous, yeah.
Mm. So with Marshall off, we move to a back three with Moxie. And would we advocate seeing Moxie move in at centre-half more often and then perhaps putting a Dan Martin at left back? Would having Moxie alongside Thomason sort out our problems in the short term?
That's what I would be doing. I think you've got to have Moxie on the pitch just for a bit of leadership. I'd be playing Dan Martin every week. I mean, he wasn't on the bench. I'm assuming he's injured. And I say assume because, you know, the club, obviously being the paying fans we are, apparently we're not kind of entitled to any sort of form of squad news or injury news. So, you know, I'm assuming that he was injured and not just out of favour because he's been good whenever he's played. But for me, I'd be playing. I mean, the other thing, I'd be interested to see what happens with Crowe when he gets back. I've no idea how he's got on at Havant, but I'd be tempted to give him a shot at right back because I just don't think Donnellan is a natural right back. And then I'd give Donnellan a run out of the team, keep him on the bench as an option. Moxie and Tomlinson as his centre halves and Dan Martin at left back. That's why I'd give a go because at the moment it isn't working. We are shipping way too many goals for this level of football.
Johnny, that's symptomatic of a very struggling team, that we're a full-time professional team in this league and 11, 12 games in, we're struggling to name a back four that's going to work.
Yes. I can't really back Johnson on this one as much of a fan of him as I am. He, just looking at the strength of the squad already, we're so light. You know, on Saturday, we didn't have any attacking options off the bench. It's just criminal, isn't it, really?
It is. And my main concern is that we're going to play Jarvis and Ash every single game for 90 minutes and flog them to death with no real respite for them. You know, we had Pierce come in from Southampton for a month, get about 10 minutes pitch time and get sent back. And with that in mind, how is any club going to lend us any young talent to try and further their career when they know that he's not going to get any pitch time because we're so intent in playing Ash and Jarvis? And it's my first time seeing Bradley Ash. Heard a lot of good things. Okay, playing with 10 men, but starved for the ball, starved for service.
We've got two proper strikers for this level of football, in theory. But they're getting absolutely nothing and alarmingly nothing. Lewis Collins isn't a winger. He's just not. He's not good enough to be playing there. I think he's definitely got ability. And I think he either needs to play him as a number 10 or up front or kind of left of the three. But I think playing left midfield isn't his bag. And I'm sorry, I know a lot of people disagree, but I think Stobbs could be one of the worst players I've ever seen playing the shirt.
That's bold.
I'm just yet to understand what he does. He can't beat a man with the ball, which is fine. Wayne Carlisle couldn't beat a player on the run, but Wayne Carlisle could put a cross and a sixpence. Jack Stobbs can't beat his man, can't beat the first man. So I'm kind of... And then people saying, oh, he's got amazing set pieces. Okay, well, every corner he takes has the same effect. It's floated in and it's caught by the keeper. So for someone that I presume is on probably decent money to have, you know, come all the way down here from the Northwest, I genuinely am at a complete loss of what he's actually there for. I don't know. Unless I'm being completely off the mark and harsh.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Stobbs. From what I've seen, but I think at this current time, if you're playing for Torquay United, you're just going to be someone who's just horrifically inconsistent, and that's what we seem to have at the moment. I think I have seen him, and he's dangerous, and he's quite lively. But
there are times
as well where he just can't cross it, and the same with Lewis Collins. I was really, really excited to see him at this level, but he just doesn't look asked really on the playing out wide. He just, you know, he just doesn't seem to have fire in his belly. But then every now and again, he'll beat a man and he'll look quite good. But he'll do it like twice in 90 minutes, and it's just not enough.
No, I was just saying that's what I mean. They just, You know, that's why I like I said, I question myself in the Stobbs one, because everyone says to me, oh, he's good. And I'm just thinking, maybe I've just completely missed it. And that's it. Don't get me wrong. Well, I say it's about every one of the players. I want them all to be good for the club that I watch every week. I want them to all be good for us. I don't want to have to come on here and question them. But for me, when you go in every week and you see someone, you're thinking, I just don't know what you're good at. It just gets frustrating. I completely agree with Collins. When he has that little moment, he looks quite good, but it's just not enough. It's
No.
just, but that's from all of them. None of them are doing it enough.
For me, with Lewis Collins, when he signed from Newport, it was a coup because he played 80 times in the Football League. So I want to know how much ambition he has to be a footballer if he's happy to be a wing back in a National League South football team, or a winger, which again is probably, we're told, is probably out of position for him. That doesn't strike me as someone who's got much ambition in life to come down here and do that. And I think that's symptomatic of a lot of players who, you know, looking at the squad so threadbare, they're going to get a game week in, week out. There's not much
Yeah,
mileage
it's
in
very
changing
true.
it.
I think a couple of the signings probably got caught up a bit in the five game run that the club seems to think was like we stayed up, even though we didn't actually stay up. We were relegated.
Speaking as so, so speaking as someone who's detached himself from the club pretty much from that moment, based on the fact that I thought the club came out with some shocking PR, which made me feel so angry. And it's been a good 4, 5, 6 months since I've been to Playmore. And having viewed that team who, when they won their fifth out of that run of five, you take out Nico Lawrence, who was head and shoulders our best centre half, Kevin Dawson, who was the only midfielder we had who could get box to box and last 90 minutes, and Frank Nublé, who could win the ball, hold the ball, and take up three or four defenders at one time. That's your backbone of that team, and none of them signed on for this season. And you can see that on that field, there are no leaders. I like brave football players. It was my first time seeing Brett McGavin, Mac 2. Not a brave player. Not a
Well,
brave player at all.
we signed one of them, but where is he? Again, I think we were talking about this before we just came on. Harry Johnson, as much as I like him, he needs to stop taking us for mugs at this point. Just say where Kevin Dawson is. Just sell us. We're in the National League South.
The whole point of announcing all those players was to get us to renew our season tickets. If one of them's going to be injured, just say, look, when he comes back fighting fit, we've got probably the best midfielder at this level. Because I loved him. I thought he was
He
so
was a
good
revelation,
last season.
and I think we all thought he was going to be a bit shit as well. I remember when
And I, for
he
me,
came on, I think, at Aldershot away and played about 10 minutes, and I thought, bloody hell, we've signed another croc. And then he turned out to be fantastic, but
it was just, mate,
where is he?
he's like our very own Roy Keane when he fancies it. But, and I'm sure he's got a genuine injury, I'm not questioning that. But it's just that, like, I almost feel sorry for the players with long-term injuries, because people will start to think, hang on a minute, he's a what, 31, 32-year-old midfielder who's played Football League. He's not going to be on peanuts. So fans are going to be start going like, oh, well, that's just another one who's, you know, pinching the living off us. And it's, I don't know, it's just, I'm not just saying that's Johnson, but the club in whole, they just shoot themselves in the foot time after time after time again.
Did they sign
Just
him
give
knowing
us
he
some
needed the
PR.
surgery? Did they sign him knowing he needed the groin op, or did they do it without that knowledge? Because if you sign a player on and he's not going to play until the new year or December, you just wait. You essentially just wasted the contract half a season. Like it's a joke.
Yeah, you say to him, look, get fit, come and train with us at Christmas, and if you're up to it, we'll sign you. If you're not, sorry, we're going to have to stick with whoever we've got. I think what I really miss at the moment is a player who just wants to show a bit of bollocks and a bit of fight.
Yes, passion.
I was feeling a bit nostalgic the other day, and I was listening back to a few of our interviews, which, if you've never listened to them, then I can't recommend them enough. I just think that the stories that we get and the honesty we get from the ex-players and managers is just brilliant. But I found myself listening to the Rory Keane one, because I remember when I did that with Ben. I remember when we recorded, I just got back from a couple of days training in Birmingham. I was a bit tired, so couldn't really remember it. I was listening to it and I thought, my God, what I do? And I'm not, Rory Keane is by no means the most talented player to have ever played for Torquay. far from it. But he walks into this team.
Stick him on the right wing.
Yeah. Here's a player that will run through a brick wall for this football club, and we've got no one like that. We've got a squad of nearly men. That's my problem. Apart from Asa Hall, who I still think would put his body on the line if he had to, and to a degree, Lapsley. But even then, he conceded a couple of lazy fouls on Saturday. I just think we've got no one that will really put their body on the line and run through a brick wall. And that's what we're missing. We're missing someone who actually gives a fuck.
I'm going to add the same caveat that Sam mentioned earlier, that when I slag players off, it's not because I don't like them. I want all to succeed to Torquay United. But watching the recruitment again, it just screamed laziness and lopsidedness. If you're lumbered with McGavin and Hansen, who, let's be honest, would struggle in the South Devon League. Really, they are poor players.
Hansen isn't good enough.
If you're lumbered with those two, you need a dynamic midfield to hide them. Lapsley, Dawson and Asa Hall, fine midfielders last season, but they're all the same sort of player. And you need players who can give you 46 games. None of those three can give you 46 games. And you're just throwing money away. We've got no ingenuity. We've got no inventiveness in there. No 1-2s, no forward thinking. It's just a much of a muchness. And it's just playing the ball forward and hoping that something sticks. And that's not how you win matches in this division. I had a lot of people telling me that this league is a lot, lot better than the last time we were here. And it's not. We're a lot, lot worse. And we'd mentioned it before we came on air. Not a single one of the players who played in 2018 and 19, every single one of those is better man for man than what we've got now. And that is a damning indictment on our recruitment.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's funny you said about the midfield. I keep saying to people, and keep saying to people, having these conversations where you go, oh, yeah, but, you know, if you've got McGavin, who I'll hold my hands up again, I do think he's getting better. I will give him credit where it's due. Some of the passes he's playing are much better, and he looks like he's enjoying his football a bit more. So I'm all for that carrying on. He's not the finished article by any stretch, but compared to what he was when he effectively just... I thought he was done. I can't remember which game it was. When he came off...
It was the Worthing game, was it?
That's it. Yeah. I thought we're not ever seeing him in a Torquay shirt again, and probably for his own good. The fact that he's turning it around, fair play to him, because that does take character. But it's all well and good kind of saying, oh, you know, McGavin, Lapsley and Dawson in midfield, all together, all fit. Oh, you're onto a winner there. But Lapsley's going to be suspended or injured at some point. Dawson isn't fit. And McGavin's only just started turning it around. So it's like, actually, if you're saying this in pre-season, fine. But all of a sudden, you know, we're not far off November. And if we can't... I know we've been getting results, but I do think a lot of that is just from being the fitter team, because we haven't looked like a good footballing side apart from the Farnborough game all season. I haven't been to all the away ones. I haven't been to the cup games. So, you know, that's the kind of caveat for that. But I just think it's getting to a point where, I don't know, you're getting to the point where if you can't start playing well and putting a proper run together, we're going to get left behind, because Averley look good. They're clearly the modern day Histon. Worthing do look good, to be fair, from when they came to play more. And Yeovil are starting to tick.
Two questions. One, in 2018-2019, we won 10 games in a row, which essentially took us from outside the playoffs to top of the league. This team is going to need to do something similar. Maybe not 10, but it's going to need to win 5 or 6 in a row at least once this season. Can you see this set of players being able to do that?
No.
Not this current team. But the one thing I would say is at the moment we've got 5 loan spots. Like 3. So it's gonna come down a lot on what we can bring in. But my faith or optimism for what those loans are gonna be is just getting a bit it's getting lower and lower, to be honest.
Yeah, as a side point, you know, you look at our success rate with loanees in the last 2 seasons, it's not great.
Yeah, I mean...
No, it's not. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know, you know, for every... trying to think of one of the bad ones. For every Scott Smith, there's a niche one for you. For every Scott Smith and everything, or for every few bad ones, you've got a Sinclair Armstrong or a Stephen Duke McKenna or even Stevie Wern when he first came in. That, you know, we have got some good players in on loan over the last couple of years, don't get me wrong, but how many have we had where you kind of haven't, you almost forget they came here? You know, James Crowell last season, I don't think he even kicked a ball for us. You think all these players that come in, you know, what's that like in training? These players come in, do the current first team players go, well, we're safe, I ain't losing my space to him? I'm listening to the Under the Cosh podcast with Graham Wesley at the moment, and he hasn't mentioned the playoff final yet, which I'm hoping he does, and I hope he's honest. But he uses this really weird analogy, but it's quite good, that if you put a load of flies into a jar and shut the lid, they'll keep flying up to try and hit the lid to get out. But after a while, they'll learn that they can't, so they'll get just fly to a certain level. If you take the lid off, they won't know that the lid's gone, and they'll keep flying to the same level. The only way to get them, make them fly up level, is to introduce new flies to the jar, because they'll fly higher and the other ones will take their lead. It's a ridiculous analogy, and it's very, very Graham Wesley. But I heard that and I thought, fucking hell, that's like us. You need some decent flies to come in to lift the level. We're not just not bringing in anyone decent.
Are you not concerned that the recruitment that we were told was so good in the summer, it's taken us 12 games to realise they're not very good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's concerning. I mean...
And my second question to you was, if you're Aaron Jarvis, who I still think is our best player by a country mile and our only bright spark, what the hell are you thinking at the moment?
Christ, you're thinking you're not going to sign a contract, are you? I know Easley came in, but if another offer comes in for him in January, if you've got a conference side, I don't know, maybe a chest, I'm completely throwing, you know, pie in the sky ideas up, I don't know. But if you're a Chesterfield and you think, oh, we could do with another option just to help us get over the line, and think, tell you what, Aaron Jarvis has only got 6 months left in his deal, we could probably get him on the cheap there. You're going to force her a move, and you're certainly not going to sign a contract to keep you at the club any longer than you have to be.
So we've done a lot of slagging off. So where are we with Gary Johnson? I mean, where I am personally is, he's not going anywhere, is he? Whether we think he should or not, he's not going anywhere. Is that part of a wider conspiracy in that we've been told by higher powers to just run the club down? Or is he just failing at his basic requirement of managing the football club properly?
I think he's just not got it right. I think he cares. I do see things saying, oh, the spark's gone, he's stealing a wage, blah, blah, blah. I think the reason why he's so deflated in his post-matches is because he's just like, he just can't quite believe where he finds himself, bearing in mind where he was only a couple of years ago, you know, a kick away from Football League. So, yeah, I don't really know. Maybe change the mindset, come out and just be a bit more upfront with supporters, and instead of making everything seem so rosy, just be a bit more, you know, a bit more honest about things.
Yeah, I don't know where I stand anymore. I just don't. I mean, you know, part of me thinks, I'd say part of me, a small part of me thinks, you know, is he just on a big old wage and they're saying, look, front it up and suck it up, or whatever, you know, whatever shit you get, you know, here's 100 grand a year, we're going to do what we want in the background. I don't believe that he would be like that at all. I just think he's got too much integrity as a football man. You know, let's be honest, he doesn't need any cash. I don't think he'd be doing something for money. He's not, you know, he's not a Sam Allardyce type, is he? But I do think that, I think regardless of what we think of the manager, until we've got until the owner comes out and actually meets with fans or puts out a meaningful statement, not a bullshit, you know, paragraph saying, oh, that was a shame, or we'll try again next year. Bertoni comes out and says, look, I want to take this club forward. I actually want to do this, blah, blah, blah. I think it kind of, it's almost a redundant argument over the manager. But then, yeah, I agree with Johnny. I think he cares. I really do. And I'd never want him to be sacked because, you know, I think since, all right, I was very fond of Kev when he was here and the work he did for the Great Escapes. But I think since Martin Ling, he was the first manager to give us that sort of really enjoyable run of football and enjoy going to play more every week. So I could never hate him or anything, but, and I'm not advocating for him to go, but it isn't good enough. And he's not immune from that. It isn't, it plain, outright simple, is not good enough.
I think under different circumstances, he's still a decent manager and certainly far better than this level. I think the problem he's had is that he's been too loyal to a lot of players, far too loyal. And he's been sentimental to a lot of players who just needed binning off. And we needed recruitment, we needed to be right for this season. And it hasn't been. And that's why we're not going to win this league. That's why we're probably not going to even get playoffs this season. And as a club, we can't afford to do that because we get squashed further and further down into the mire. I say one kick away from Ashton Gate. Terrible start to the season after that, but for the second half of the season, we were decent and we put some good wins in there. The 5-1 against Notts County still ranked as one of my best days out ever as a Torquay fan. Even last season, towards the end, there are moments where he could produce really exciting, good stuff at Plainmoor. But sadly, until he gets the fire in his belly and comes out and starts showing how much being Torquay manager means to him, he's going to be shot at by a lot of fans who are getting increasingly pissed off by the very poor standard of football we're seeing week in, week out. Now, Saturday wasn't in isolation. It's all season we've been this bad against a lot of poor teams.
Do you think it's tactics? Or do you think it's personnel? Or do you think it's a mixture of both?
I don't think he's surrounded himself with good people, personally. I think his assistant should be first out the door. And I admired Downsy to an extent as a defender, but I think I see Aaron Downs as a complete yes man. And if he's a defensive coach, then that needs to go to the Trade Jobs Description Act because we've been shambolic defensively the entire time. And that's always not been a problem because we've always scored goals. But now we're a club that fails to score goals. It is a problem that we can't defend.
Do you know what I said to someone at work recently was, Cheltenham sacked Wade Elliott. Now, Wade Elliott played for Gary Johnson. And I thought, do you know what? I'm desperate for Downs to get the Gloucester job because that seems to come up every other month at the moment. I'm desperate for him to get that job because even for him personally, I just think it's not going to benefit him anymore from being here. So get out the door and go and do your own thing in a good way. You know, have our blessing. But bring Wade Elliott in as a number two, someone different. He's played under Gary Johnson, but, you know, has also now been a manager. I'm not saying he hasn't done a good job as a manager, because he'd been a manager, he'd have his own opinions. And then he's potentially someone to maybe take over from Gary when he takes a step back. I don't know. But I completely agree, Ben. I think, you know, there's got to be some kind of change. Now, would I get rid of Johnson? No. His brother, I don't want to be rude. Not quite sure what his job role is. It says head of recruitment, but again, you know, if you look at the performance of his job, I'd argue certainly recently he's not delivered on that. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe like you say, maybe getting some better people in around him might help. But
it all seems a little bit too pushy at the moment, doesn't it? It's got to the stage where you do feel something does need to change. Whether it is the recruitment, whether it is the assistant, but I don't think it will anytime soon. And we just seem to be doing the same things and just hoping for a different outcome.
As I kept saying, it's my first time in a while at the ground, and always in the past, I've told people, now we're a football league club. We are a football league club, and we're just lost our way a little bit, but being there for the first time in a while, it was eye-opening how the whole club was sort of almost soulless. And I wouldn't have that opinion if I bought a season ticket and I'd got invested in it and been turning in and still really got the excitement on a Saturday. But it just seemed like we're being dragged down towards the National League South in every way, shape, and form. Really, it's not a good day out at all. It's just a very. It just seems a lot of fans are just going through the motions, and maybe some of the fans had a bit more passion for it to really tell these players, you know, it's not good enough. It might try and shake some sort of play into him. I saw a video, I think it was Reading, who got turned over at Leyton Orient, and their fans were giving the Reading, saying you're not fit to wear a shirt. And their manager made every single player listen to the away fans, giving him absolute shit for about 2 or 3 minutes. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, the club is the fans. It's not the fans are the club.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough fans are getting loud and getting their voices heard in and saying things that need to be said. But that is my opinion.
No, I agree. And even at the start, sorry, I was going to say, even at the start of the season, that group in the middle of the pop side, which I disagree with a lot of what people there say, but ultimately, I've got a lot of respect for them because they still pay to come every week. And that's one thing. I think anyone who pays to go every week at the moment deserves some sort of, I don't know, they deserve a lot of time. But, you know, at the start of the season, they were really, and towards the end of last season, as annoying as some of them are, and I'm sure they won't mind me saying that because I don't think they listen. But they were really making some good noise. They were singing a lot. They were really, you know, the atmosphere felt good. Now, just feels a bit like there were 2,500 fans there on Saturday. It didn't feel like it.
I think at the end of the day, it probably feels a little bit soulless, Ben, just because there's not a lot to cheer about, is there? Do you know what I mean? Like, look where we are. Look at the standard of football. If performance has picked up a bit, I'm sure it would feel a lot better. But we really do need to start putting in some decent performances. Otherwise, it's going to be a long odd season.
It can turn toxic very quickly, very quickly. I think I said it before we started. I always feel sad when I do these because where I sit at my desk, I've got a lot of photos on the wall of memories over the years. And of course, because it's an important memory, I've got a picture of Lee Mansell cheering the pop sign. You think, what would you give for a player like that? And even I've got one of the National League South team and even like a handful of those players. I mean, look at Ben Winter, Kalala, Keaton, we mentioned, George Burton, you know, big names that. Oh, it's just depressing at the moment, isn't it? It's so bad.
Well, after all this depression, the good news is next week we're playing Maidstone.
I can't believe it's the same game again. Oh, do we have to?
The only thing that I'm not going to go, I'm not going to the. I can't go to I work with an Argyle fan, and the fact that we're playing like what, our third FA Cup game of the season, and they're not in it until Christmas and until January, I can't go unless we get to the first round proper. I can't be dealing with it. The only positive is you might get to see Maidstone's shirt again. I mean, that, if we're taking positives from Saturday, that is the nicest football kit I've seen in years.
What was it? What colour?
It's like Argentina stripes.
It was pretty sexy.
What, like our away shirt?
Well, the thing is, it's like, I think with Ryan was on the wall for our season, in fact, they couldn't do fucking stripes properly. It's, you know, like,
yeah,
if you manage to get stripes wrong, you think, I think this might be a long one. This might be a long, 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 long season, guys.
Are we in crisis, though? Because I know I had a bit of, not an argument, but a bit of a disagreement with someone just on a chat we were on Saturday, because maybe it was because I wasn't at the game. But I know this podcast has been very glum, and I think that's only a fair reflection on how things are at the moment. But we are still, you know, we're only 4 points off top.
We're not in crisis, but I would say we are in sleep mode.
So, yeah.
I'd say we're just on auto drive and just seeing what happens. And we need to be more proactive. And the only way... I said I was going to buy a season ticket, and I said, I'll come back if the club proves me that I'm missing out on something. And for me, I don't know, I'm being a bit bogged, but we should be being team 3-4-0. We should be leading this league from start to finish. That's the only way the club should be able to apologise to the fans who they claim they respected at the end of last season is by winning the league outright without even thinking about it. And we're miles away from that.
I completely agree. I don't think we're in crisis yet, but I honestly don't think we're far off. I think for me, it's just that how many times have people left Playmore this season satisfied with the performance? And I know we're getting results, don't get me wrong. And if we end up winning the title from playing like this and just grinding out results, then I will personally apologise to everyone in the first team squad and all of the coaching staff and say, do you know what? You know better than me. Fine, I'll hold my hands up, got it wrong. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think that's going to happen. Because like I said earlier, we're only, in my opinion, I know people have different opinions. In my opinion, I just think we're beating teams from being fitter than them. That's how it seems to me as a, I'm not a football brain. I've watched it for 20 odd years, but I've never worked or played in the game. So, you know, maybe that's just a, you know, a bit of a fed up fans point of view. But I just, like I said, apart from the Farnborough game, I'm just not sure we're playing well enough at all. And that's why I don't, you know, it only takes a couple more bad results and all of a sudden we're well off the mark. You know, there are other teams that are playing well and winning games.
Well, our next three league fixtures, I think, off the top of my head, are Welling, Weston and Taunton.
You've got Hampton on the 28th.
Oh, yes. But we're getting to the point now where we're going to have to start putting a run together.
I think we need to win the next three games.
And with Marshall out for three games, and we can discuss whether that's a big miss or not, that's still another body out of the very threadbare squad missing.
You say threadbare. I mean, go on all night with some of this. How concerning was it that on Saturday, the only attacking or mildly attacking substitution we could do is bring Asa Hall on? Now, don't worry, I cannot keep, you know, I will always say how much love. I've got an Asa Hall signed shirt on the wall. He's one of my favourite ever Torquay players. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not going to dig at him. But that, and that's not an Asa Hall, this isn't an Asa Hall issue, but he should not be the only attacking substitution that we can make. You know, I'm not a fan of his, but, you know, what's happened to Dylan De Silva?
Where's he gone?
He was sat in the dugout on Saturday, so he's clearly around.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure if it's injury, but again, it's just like, just fucking tell us, you know.
Just fucking say now.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I told people around me that our first sub would be Asa Hall, even though he hasn't played for 6 weeks or whatever it is. It's just and again, I'm a massive fan of Asa Hall, and I'm not digging him out. He'll start next week. He'll be our best player by a country mile. And then he'll probably get injured in a few weeks' time, and we'll be having the same conversation over and over again. And again, I'm sentimental as well, but is he taking up a place in the squad that we could be using on an attacking winger with a bit of pace? Because what I see, we've got no pace, got no width from the squad, there's just no X factor. And what I will say on Saturday is that I couldn't fault the effort, but that is the basic, that is the minimum requirement I expect any Torquay team is to show that they care, but with effort. But there's very little ability there. Got two good strikers, I think, for this level. Two strikers who can score goals.
And a goalie.
And a goalie who is keep winning us points week in, week out. And for me, the rest is question marks everywhere else over the pitch. So for me, we can't go on a run, and we need to make sure our recruitment, if there is to be recruitment, is good enough to make sure we can go on a run. Now, we showed back end of last season by bringing in Lawrence, Dawson and Nuble, he can build a team mid-season which can put results together. But are we going to get players of that quality in our current situation? Bearing in mind, we're now playing in a regional league. I have my doubts we can find those sort of players who are going to make an instant impact and make our team a lot better in a very short space of time.
I mean, the last time we were in this league, we got some incredible loans in, but and I'm not for a minute doubting that Johnson doesn't have a contact, but to get those, to get the players of the quality levels we had, and I'm talking namely Jale, Connor Evans and Andrews at the time, even in Jake, if you're listening, you know, that's a huge favour from his son. effectively. You know, that's a, any other time they go to a League Two, or, you know, especially when they're younger, they could risk it, or at least a conference club. So we, you know, we got a big old favourite from Lee there.
Well, I was wondering whether the Fleetwood connection might kick in to gear, but doesn't look to be. And they're fighting for their lives in their division. So, and it's fucking miles away from talking.
I mean, that's the thing. Last time, it couldn't have been better having.
Yeah, it was so ideal, wasn't it?
You know, I mean, Bristol City up the road and a Championship club with a, you know, they've got a Premier League standard academy. It doesn't get any better than that.
But that's what I want from Gary Johnson. Last time in this division, and for, you know, a season and a half, two seasons after that, he had fire in his belly. You know, he was rattling his son by the collar, saying, "Give me your players, getting these players down there." He was demanding the best players. He was building a team. You know, I still,
my does, only does hope, he have Ben, that? My only hope is that he is working as hard as he can behind the scenes to get some quality in, because I think a couple of quality players would make a huge difference. But it's just such an if, isn't it? We just don't know.
I honestly think a centre back and a couple of wingers and we are away. I honestly think we could be away, especially once, you know, if, again, I'm completely guessing on the length, but on the length of time, but if we get Dawson back in the not too distant future and a couple of decent wingers and a centre back, I think we're laughing. I feel like I've been really harsh tonight. We've got some good players and we've got a manager that's been there and done it. I think my thing is, at the moment, I'm just massively, massively, massively disappointed with the level of quality we're seeing from full-time footballers who we know can be better. I've hammered Jack Stobbs because I know he can be better. I know he can. The reason I'm frustrated is because he's not been good enough. The same as Collins. You know that he's got some ability, and I'm kind of circling back to your earlier point, Ben, but maybe that just him coming down just shows that Johnson's still got that pull for players. It's that, like, actually, do you know what? You know, I want to go and play for him. He made me feel top of the world. We've still got some good players, and I don't think we've got, apart from maybe a couple, I think they're all good enough to play for us. It's just seeing a bit more quality from them.
Yeah, you think after the Hungerford game last week, I know Hungerford are the div below, but you think coming in from a 5-0, they would have a bit of a spring in their step, but it just didn't seem like we did, and clearly the result reflected that. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's what frustrated me most, is that even with 10 men, the game was there for the taking, and we didn't look like we knew how to score a goal. In the last 5 or 6 minutes, we had 3 or 4 corners, and there wasn't a single bit of quality on it, on any of them. And that's criminal, because even with 10 men, you can still, from set pieces, you can still dominate if the quality is right on the ball. And that's not something that a manager can teach you, but that's just practice on the training ground to make sure the delivery is spot on every minute of the game when it needs to be.
We used to score quite a few from corners, but we just don't seem to do anything recently.
Well, we'll end on a positive note. Any other business, should draw attention to our good friend John Cadogan, who is one half of the excellent National Obsession podcast. He is running the London Marathon in April for a cause that is very close to his heart. If you don't follow John, you absolutely should, because he's a very funny man. He's a great talkie fan, and he is donating and auctioning some prizes as part of his fundraising. But good luck, John. Good luck, mate. Great cause, and I hope all goes well for you, and keep updating us with your progress.
Yeah, good luck, John. Obviously, if you need any fitness and running advice, I'm not your man.
Yeah, good luck, John, because I entered and didn't get in, so make the most of it, mate.
I'm sure if you don't follow John or the National Obsession podcast, we'll link their Twitter handles on this when we upload this one onto Twitter. In other marathon news, our good friend Tom Vosper ran a marathon in searing heat over the weekend. And well done, mate. That is absolutely tip-top. Brilliant. And in other marathon news, Chris Ballard's just eaten 2 Snicker bars. So well done, mate. Great effort.
Ha 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 ha. If I don't know if it came up on one of the previous podcasts because I don't always listen to right to the end. I'm sure it did, but if it didn't, obviously Nick French did half a marathon.
Yes, I should also mention Nick French, who is a lovely man and much missed at the moment, as he's taking a bit of sabbatical. And top effort, mate. Well done.
Yeah, well done, mate.
It was a good half effort. Well done.
I think on that note, we'll leave it there, and we'll have our fingers crossed for a more positive podcast in the future we can give you. But thank you to Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Up the goals.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
Darling, it's good to have Team Hansen back together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's good luck to the goals in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Up the goals.
Fourth quality.